Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to this week's Shout Out.
We're talking about the first Pride March in 1953.
Filming now once a year on Blackpool Sands.
I talked to those behind this film based on a true story.
Plus, the Kiki are here with their My Five.
The Just Like Us Youth podcast.
News, views and music.
In the next hour.
Right here on Shout Out.
Good evening.
Hello, Terence.
Good evening. Yes.
Hello, Derry.
Hello.
You okay?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So. Nice of you to rock up.
It is, isn't it, actually? Yes.
And spending your time with all our lovely listeners.
Absolutely. And not on news tonight, actually.
Yes.
We've got Matthew and Andy, haven't we?
And just look pretty.
It'll be your job to look pretty and speak Welsh.
Yes,
it will.
Hello to
actually.
Some new listeners.
Yes.
We've got things a bit muddled up because we actually thought we'd started a couple of weeks ago, but for technical reasons, that didn't quite actually happen, did it?
No, so Terry, so 106.5
is Cantachwech Point Pimp FM stereo.
Okay, on
Radio Tyrcoed.
Tyrcoed.
In Abertawe, or just to the west of Abertawe.
And we will be bringing some Welsh content onto the show because we've got interviews lined up at Swansea Pride.
Mm.
And we'll be talking to Cardiff Pride as well.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Cardiff Pride as well. So,
and fantastic. It's not far for people to travel across to Bristol,
and it's
Cardiff.
Free now. Isn't it? The bridge
So people can travel backwards and forwards in the West Country to South Wales and vice versa.
I think they said I saw a statistic, it was something like traffic was up like 20% on the bridges now.
Yeah.
Like there's no toll, which is, you know.
Yeah. They reckon the traffic knock-on effect in Newport and Bradley Stoke, Aztec West area is at an impact.
Yeah.
Really? So that's good trade, isn't it? And of course, we're on Bradley Stoke Radio. Have been Bradley Stoke?
We are.
Yeah. And on Gloss
FM in South Gloss as well.
And all over, man.
Yeah.
All over.
Yes, everywhere.
Check us out online, shoutoutradio.lgbt. You can see them all.
Full list of stations.
And we'd like to apologise for last week. Last week we said we were going to bring Quakers in the LGBTQ community. That's been postponed to
a later date. No, we are going to move on very quickly, though, because we have got a really packed show.
Nice.
So we're going to go across to Kiki and catch up with their Cutie Pock 5.
It's Lara
and Linda
and Sharifa
Edson,
and today we're talking about consent and what that means to us. So I was talking to Edson a little bit earlier about his experience of a night out and where guys just didn't care about the consent that the girls give. Like, what do you have to say about that?
So yeah, it happened at a popular pub in Easton. I went with a couple of friends of mine to a birthday party, and we were just hassled all night by this one person. And even when we squared up to them, pushed them away, thought that they'd gone like some kind of zombie, they returned.
And
it's not the first time that I've been out with friends and just had that kind of encounter. And it's just like people not reading cues or ignoring them. And, you know, it just kind of sours the night. You know, you're having a good time, and then that person who just doesn't respect the boundaries of your friends, even if it's not happening to you, the fact is everyone's tense, you know, because at the end of the day, it's kind of like that wasn't part of the night that you came out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally understand that, because for me, I've definitely been on nights out where I've been touched inappropriately, and even when I've said, like, please don't do that, they still continue to do that because they think that somehow I will come round to the idea if they just ask enough times. And even when I say no, like, I really don't want to, some people have got their friends to come and ask me to talk to them, and I feel like it's such a breach of my own boundaries, even if I say no and I'm quite firm. But then, you know, Lucy, Linda, you've had a different experience.
Yes, I have. I've had lots of experiences over the years, but certainly when I was younger, with men approaching me and not quite knowing how to handle it.
Mm.
you know, because I think partly because of conditioning, I was conditioned to be respectful to my elders. Mm. It often was older men, you know, when you're at a shebeen and having a dance and then you're suddenly crowded out by some man who's trying to pin you to a wall. I've had plenty of those experiences. I was really surprised to have a woman do that to me at a lesbian festival I was at. I was in one of the bar spaces with my girlfriend, and this woman approached me, and I think she was quite, she was either drunk or under some sort of influence of drugs, and she would not take no for an answer, even though I gave her no reason to think that I was available to her at all. She still was on me, and had to, you know, be extremely rude to her in the end. She still wouldn't take no for an answer, and my girlfriend was starting to get hot under the collar, and we had to leave. So it kind of spoilt our night, and I was really surprised to see that. And I think for me, I think drugs and drink have a big factor in terms of people not being able to read social cues and not being able to tell when it's not cool. And also from the person who's receiving that attention, sometimes it's sort of social conditioning. Women are encouraged to, like, well, we're brought up to, like, be compliant. You know, and even though I am not a compliant person, it still can make one feel a bit awkward. Certainly as I've got older, I'm not tolerating any nonsense from anybody. If I'm not having it, I'm not having it.
No, that makes so much sense. Mm. But Sharifa, you have a different kind of experience, because obviously we all have different experiences with consent. So what have you seen and what have you personally experienced?
I've personally experienced not a lot in regards to, like, people forcing themselves upon me. I've never had any issues with any men or women. I'm a very forthright person. I make it clear what I want and what I don't want. But I've seen it with a lot of my friends who happen to be white women, and I've seen them be approached by black men and white men, and they kind of entertain the idea that they can kind of be approached and spoken to, and they let it happen for a little bit, but when they get bored of it, they struggle to say no, and that's when it kind of becomes a bit kind of lechy and persistent. So I don't know whether it's a cultural thing or a race thing, but I think there maybe might be a racial element there of, like, men going more for white women over black women. Because I've never had any issues, and I don't think I ever will, because I have such a go away vibe. Men just do not even come anywhere near me.
I think I have it from the opposite perspective, where the fact that, like, I think more white men, or, like, more, like, Arabic men, like, approach me because I feel like they think I am the easier option, because I don't know, like I said, I think it is quite a race nuanced thing. I think it's because they think, like, somehow, I don't know, for me, as a black woman, like, I've got very little options anyway, so I should be grateful of the attention. That's what sometimes it feels like. It's like, I am good-looking, or my friend is good-looking, so why shouldn't you want him? Sure. And the fact that, like, number one, I'm queer, like, I'm not straight, I don't want him in my life, like, and that's okay for me, that's enough for me to say, I don't have to, and I've never justified it, like, after I came out as gay, to say, because I'm gay, because I don't feel like that should be an excuse for someone to say no.
I just wonder if sometimes it's about rules, and there are different cultural rules and norms about how you relate to different to people within your ethnic, racial, so-called group. And what's maybe, I think, happening sometimes is that people know that they can't make that sort of approach to somebody of their ethnic group and so on. But also the rules are different. You know, there's a certain etiquette in terms of dance culture, especially intimate dance culture within a black community. And I think perhaps some towards the way in which white women are stigmatized, kind of the opposite to way black women, black men are stigmatized, is that they're available and easier targets. And these kind of boundaries around who's the other gets played out on the dance floor, and that also hits and impacts upon how people approach each other.
That is us for today. Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Find us on Kiki Bristol Facebook.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Beverly Knight and a Come As You Are. Let's pop along to that.
She's cracking, Beverly Knight.
Yeah, fun track, that one.
Really powerful voice. It's reminiscent of the 60s and 70s great soul singers.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I'd agree with that. So, not your cup of tea, by the way.
No, it's a new one for me. I don't recognise that one.
Did she not do Pride a few years ago?
Beverly?
Yeah. Don't know, actually. Maybe we need to Google that stuff.
It rings a bell, though, you say.
It does.
Yeah. Terry's saying in the background that she
did. Lots of nodding going on in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is we've done quite a few prides, haven't we? So you kind of forget which year it is. And to make it even worse, this year, of course, it's the 10th birthday, 10th anniversary. So they're bringing all the ones back from previous years. Like, Xavier Lisbetter's back, isn't she?
That's good.
And, I won't digress. Anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, 21st of March, 2019.
Andrea Leadsom, the Education Secretary, has been criticised by the Liberal Democrats' LGBT campaign group after she gave a media interview in which she appeared to flip-flop on her support for gay and trans young people. Ms Leadsom was talking on the national talk radio network LBC. She was speaking against the backdrops of continued protests in some largely Muslim areas about pro-equality materials being included in schools. Some LGBT activists claim that literature circulating amongst some of the protesting parents is of an inflammatory and religiously extremist nature, and that theocratic groups are trying to exploit the tensions to further their own objectives. Ms Leadsom said that she personally would have no problem with her own children being taught about LGBT issues in schools, but used language that appeared to suggest she thought it was inappropriate for children from some conservative religious backgrounds to learn that some families were headed by two mothers or two fathers. Ms Leadsom has previously been an abstainer on parliamentary votes for equality, including equal marriage.
With spring in the air, thoughts in the West Country are turning to the festival season, which is rapidly approaching. With its hippie roots, alternative living ideology and celebration of individual awareness, the West Country is deeply connected to its festival calendar. Couple this with beautiful countryside across Wessex, and it's the perfect recipe for a summer of fun. In Bristol, plans are now advanced for the annual Vegan Festival, which takes place around the Whitsun Bank holiday weekend in late May. For LGBTQ people, the intersection between ethical living and expressing your support for gay and trans freedoms are important, and there is a considerable number in our community that are committed to vegetarian lifestyles and animal welfare. One of the many animal rights organisations in the UK, the League Against Cruel Sports, which was instrumental in the government of Tony Blair, to outlaw hunting with hounds, has produced a new range of leaflets showcasing their work opposing other forms of hunting and blood sports. These can be ordered from their website.
Young people are not at all apathetic or politically disengaged, reports the current issue of You Magazine, a trade union-affiliated journal published by Unison. In a special issue devoted to young people and their aspirations, the magazine says that millennials love changing stuff, with new digital organising spawning a new type of activist online. However, the Women's March and Trump protests show that young people are also willing to get involved in things they care about. The magazine says that millennials are green, interested in ethical living, and are committed through campaigns such as Me Too and mental health to equalities and diversity.
Trans activist Munro Bergdorf, who also speaks out on racial inequality and women's rights, appears in the current issue of Crack magazine, an artists and music monthly based in Bristol and available free of charge from community centres and record stores nationwide. Bergdorf is interviewed about activism burnout, something which she reveals is very familiar. She says, "Know what your strengths are," and urges others, "My strengths are in writing and my platform and my reach. I use these to amplify the voices of other people."
Our media compiler Terry Starr reports that Sir Ian McKellen will be marking his 80th birthday with a visit to Aberystwyth Arts Centre in West Wales. Sir Ian was a founding member of Stonewall, the LGBT rights charity, and has been publicly out for more than 30 years. He reports, "My childhood holidays were usually in North Wales and in the South. I've often appeared in Cardiff and Swansea. This will be my first visit to Aberystwyth, and profits from the event go to the Arts Centre's programme of theatre for children and young families."
For these news stories and more, visit our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Andy Hole.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, we normally kind of like talk about a song at the end, don't we? But this
we do, but this track actually goes with the interview. It was set in the summer of 1953. Now, what I didn't know, and probably many of our listeners don't, is that on Blackpool Sands in the summer of 1953 took place the first ever Pride March.
In 1953, wow.
Summer of 1953 was the first Pride March ever.
Gosh.
And there's a film being made about it right now, and I interviewed some of the cast.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right, last week listeners will remember that we were covering the movie Girl, and we interviewed the Belgian director of that movie. And Shout Out's at the movies again this week, and we're talking to Jill Schultz, Julie Boyle and Tanya Nicol. And hello the three of you.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
We're all okay this end. Yeah. Now, are you up in Yorkshire?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay.
So Bradford.
Oh, okay. A lot of publicity about Bradford lately.
There is a lot of publicity about Bradford, really.
Yeah.
There is. Yeah.
I think you'll have most of the country wanting to move there because there's a lot of positive stuff.
There is. Yeah, there is. There's a lot. I mean, we've had a lot of bad press, but at the moment it's pretty good.
All good, yeah.
There's a lot of good people come from Bradford, too.
We'd heard that.
Absolutely, yes.
And getting on to the movie, which is obviously the LGBTQ subject matter. In the title is the word Blackpool, which is obviously in a county across the Pennines. Once a year on Blackpool Sands. Now, can you tell me the background, how you come up with the idea and how you've gone forward with it?
Yeah, it's actually based on a true story. And it was set in the 1950s, at a time when it was illegal to be gay. A time where if you were found out as being gay, you'd be arrested, you were beaten up. It was just not allowed. Now, this true story follows Tommy and Eddie, who were minors, and they were in love. And once a year in Wakes Week, they used to go down to Blackpool Sands, which is a guest house, quite quirky. And it was run by a lady called Gladys with a daughter, and her mother called Red, who was an ex-showgirl. There was a gentleman there called James Elbridge who used to go down, and he was a transsexual who his alter ego was Phyllis. There was lots of to-ing and fro-ing in the film, lots of ups and downs. And the upshot is Tommy and Eddie, they decided that this is not on. We need to be seen as who we are. So the six of them walked from Blackpool Pier North to Blackpool Pier South. James was dressed as Phyllis. The Tommy and Eddie hand in hand, and then you had a lesbian lady and two of the other ladies as well, and they walked, and they had bottles thrown at them, they were beaten up, but they didn't care, they kept on walking. That is basically the beginnings of gay pride as we know it today.
The thing people should remember is that this is back in the 1950s, so times were so different then, with a lot of homophobia, transphobia. So like you say, very, very brave people. Now, this was a play, wasn't it? So the movie was taken from the play.
Yes, it was. It was originally in Broadway and London. It gained so much respect and publicity that he was asked to turn it into a film, which is what Carlton has done. If I put you on to Jill... Jill knows more of the history of that than what I do. So,
okay. One second. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
What part do you play?
I'm a miner's wife.
Okay.
So I'm a character called Mary Pickering, one of the miner's wives who actually goes on the bus to Blackpool on the Wakes Week.
Okay.
And yes, so we're actually yet to film. We're still in production at the moment. So it's all very exciting. But yes, so Carlton basically he had a concept after meeting Tommy and Eddie in Greece that he'd take this story and put it on the stage, basically. And it was such a smash hit in the UK and off Broadway that he was actually offered some money to do a screenplay. And he thought, well, no, this is my baby. This is... I this is real to me. This is my story, and I want it to be authentic, and I want to take it, to the big screen myself. And so he invested his own money from the proceeds of the the stage. And the aim, which is going to happen, the film's been premiered in Hebden Bridge in North Yorkshire in November and LA in December. Because we're still in production with the filming, you know, it's continuing in April and May, hoping to complete the production by the end of June, to make the best film possible, to get this absolutely amazing, wonderful story, wonderful true story told, and support the cast and the crew have been amazing. The numbers have gone from, it started with 6 who were the original cast, and the numbers have actually expanded to 100, over 100 in the cast now.
So
what we're trying to do is go out to the public to ask them to donate a little bit maybe, and to certainly raise awareness and help us get this you know, this story to the big screen, to make a moment in film, basically. You know, we're so excited about it. It's such an amazing story. And like small budget films, we're running a crowdfunding appeal where from as little as £1, it can make a moment in film. I mean, local businesses, it's brilliant because local businesses across the UK can be rewarded with a special thank you, a small donation, and there's also the opportunity to get a film credit and a special invite to the premiere screening in November.
How did you meet?
We all met a few years ago. Since we left the acting group, we've all gone our separate ways, done a bit of this and a bit of that. Now, I personally, as apparently so the others, I was invited along to an audition in Salford for this film, and I was a little bit nervous, and when I got there, lo and behold, so were the rest of my acting group there. They've all followed the same audition process. We all got a part.
That's incredible.
But the amazing thing is that there's 11 actors from the acting school in Saltaire who've actually got parts in this film, so that's sort of becoming a little bit of news around, you know, around the area here, and it's all very exciting.
Are you going to be actually filming on location in Blackpool?
We're filming in Idle, which is filming over the Easter weekend. We're filming scenes from the bus, which is supposedly the bus that goes to Blackpool, but it's actually going from Idle to Bayledon.
Still got some scenes to film over in Lancashire. We've still got some scenes to film over there as well, which are the actual walk scenes and the pier scenes and things like that.
Ah, okay. But, so it is going to be done in some of the main scenes are done in Blackpool, the actual walk.
Yeah. There is obviously scenes in Blackpool as well. Yeah. And I tell a lie, we are actually in the Blackpool scene because we're on the beach.
Oh, we are. We're going to be extras as well.
Yeah.
We're going to be extras as cast.
We've all got a character role, but we've decided we're all going to be there on the Blackpool sands as well, just as extras in the cast.
Absolutely.
Just to bump up the numbers for that particular day.
Okay.
None of us are too big for that.
No. It's going to be very exciting. And, of course, that's where the pinnacle part of the story is going to be filmed, the walk with Phyllis.
Yes.
You know, the big part. It all leads up to that big part.
Variety performances. I'm putting together a variety performance in Yeadon Town Hall, which will feature the stars of Once a Year on Blackpool Sands, who are a talented bunch. They can all sing, they can dance. We've got some comedians in there. We've got Danny Stafford, who's a wonderful comedian, and he puts on a wonderful show from LA, and he's bringing it over here. And then we've also got
something which are the monologue. And when the play was in America, a lot of the people wrote to Carlton and told him their stories and what had happened to them. It's really touching. And we're doing like a talking head style where we've adapted these letters and we're putting on performances. And these are the true stories of what have happened to other people as well in the same situations.
And that'll be on at the Bradford Playhouse on the 11th and 12th of May.
Music-wise, are you going to, is the movie full of all 1950s music?
Yes, it's going to be 1950s music in there. But as what the actual soundtrack is chosen, we don't know. He likes to keep us on his toes, and he likes to keep little bits to himself, just so it's a surprise to us when we watch it.
Now, if obviously the most important thing is that you start getting some donations in, so how can our listeners find you? What is the website?
Okay, yes. Well, we've got the crowdfunding site, well, the link, which is actually on Baby Dog Films website, and it's quite an easy name to type in. It's babydogfilms.co.uk. I mean, you can follow all the news updates and films on film clips on the Baby Dog Films. You can see how we're progressing with the film. And then you've got the crowdfunding link on there. And you've got one for England and also one for America, because we've got quite a few American donations coming in. It's babydogfilms.co.uk. Click into there and then you'll see the crowdfunding link. And people can donate as little as a pound. And then you can go up to a few more pounds to get like screen credits.
Or stuff. Even thousands if you want.
Well, why not? Another massive fundraising event we have is on Sunday the 28th of April after the variety show. So we're having a fundraising weekend. We're doing a sponsored walk, which is based on a 15-minute walk that Tommy, Eddie, Phyllis and the three ladies on the film did from the North to South Pier in Blackpool. And it's a walk with Phyllis. We've got the leading star, Dominic McCavish, who's playing James Elbridge, aka Phyllis, in the film. He's leading the walk. And what we're trying to do at the moment is contact local businesses, to try and help us support them, us, really, donate something. Come along. Come and join us.
Oh, we've got the Walk with Phyllis link going through, which we've currently got some now. We've got Will Miller supporting us, Frankie Faye's on, we've got the Village People. We've got Ashley Peacock from Coronation Street, who, by the way, is starring in the film along with his wife.
Yeah, he's coming to Blackpool. He's coming to the guest house.
His actual wife that was in Coronation Street. So there's a lot of Coronation Street cast who are following us and have created a Walk with Phyllis video for us. So momentum is going. We've just gone into the TNA website. We've gone onto the paper today. We've had a £1,000 donation today, which was fantastic. We just need a few more of those.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, beautiful story. For people like yourselves, you are allowed to be who you want to be. Unfortunately, there is still some prejudice out there. We need to wipe it all out, is what we're saying. This is who I am, no matter of what my sexuality is. And it's something that those people, our forefathers, were not able to do. And I have to say, there's a lot of youngsters, a lot of youths of today who don't realise the struggle that people faced. Even 10, 20 years ago, it was a little bit of a taboo subject. And I think it'd be nice. It's the beginnings of gay pride. It's how it all started. Let's get behind this.
Listen, all of you. So, Jill, Julie and Tanya, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Hopefully, Shout Out will get a preview of the movie so we can have another chat about it. And love you to love you to come on to the show again once the film's ready to go.
Absolutely. We'd love to. We'd be honoured. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care and break a leg.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Bye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Just like us, for LGBT young people.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, James.
I feel like we always say that exactly the same way at the beginning of every episode.
It's nice to have consistency.
It's quite cute, actually. How are you in this lovely March?
I'm pretty good. It's a pretty grisly March outside.
Yeah, it's raining outside. We're both looking outside the window and it's not good. It was nice recently. We had some really good weather lately. What are we talking about this March?
Okay, so this March, it's 31st of March is International Transgender Day of Visibility. So to celebrate that and celebrate all the lovely trans people we have in the community, we wanted to talk about some trans issues and talk with trans people.
And trans visibility.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So, should we talk a bit about the history of trans?
Yes.
So, basically, it started with in 2009, so a long old time ago, 10 years ago, with Rachel Crandall, who's a trans rights activist who was in Michigan, and she kind of reacted to the lack of LGBT holidays in general that celebrate trans people. And she was also, I think she was very frustrated that the only well-known trans holiday was the Trans Day of Remembrance, which is obviously very important, but I think it's also, it's like
it's
mourning.
Quite sad, yeah.
Yeah, it's mourning the murders of trans people, which is like not as, you know, light and upbeat for a March day as today.
And obviously such a big part of LGBT like identity and culture is pride, both in like the sense of the event, but also like the meaning of the word. Like,
yeah.
And so it's so nice to have this new holiday where like it's like a day for like trans pride and
yeah.
trans visibility,
and just that day,
just like
only,
that sadness.
Yeah, and just focusing on like happier things in terms of like yeah. the living members of the trans community and what everyone contributes, and then kind of letting people. Yeah. So this was kind of it's in 2015. It kind of started as like more of a social media thing rather than just kind of an interpersonal thing. So on like Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, you name it, like people were posting selfies like with their personal stories. And I think it's also important to know that like any, like there's such a wide range of stories and they're all important, I think.
The other thing that's happening this month, I've been waiting all year since the last one,
honestly,
it's National Conversation Week, 18th to the 24th of March. Have a conversation with somebody, go for it. So for National Conversation Week, and combined, it's all coming together. We decided to have some national conversations with some national trans people. We're now going to go to an interview segment I recorded a few days ago with our lovely local trans guy, Leo. Here's that.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Hello, I'm here with Leo. Hi, Leo.
Hi, my name is Leo. I use he, him pronouns, and I am a trans guy here at Oxford University.
Here at Oxford University. What positions do you hold? You have many fancy positions.
Yeah. So I, for the last year, have been one of the trans officers for the Oxford University LGBTQ Society. I've been the secretary for the LGBTQ campaign for the last year, and I'm also just finishing my year as my college, Lady Margaret Hall's first JCR trans officer.
I didn't even know all of that. That's so impressive.
Yeah, it's been a busy year.
Yeah, oh my God. So my first question, do you have a cute story about trans visibility, like an anecdote?
I do. Back when I was in sixth form, when I was questioning my own gender, I didn't really have access to any communities who were LGBTQ+, and I didn't know any trans people. So I found it quite difficult to figure out what was going on with my own gender.
For sure.
Because I knew that I didn't feel like a girl, but I didn't really know what I did feel like because I never really heard of it before. And someone who turned out to be my best friend in sixth form, I discovered was a trans guy. And it was so nice to be able to meet someone who was going through what I was also going through and had language for that and could like explain to me what I was feeling. And it was such a like nice moment to find people like yourself. So yeah, that's my first memory.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Aww, I love that. What does trans visibility mean to you?
So kind of following on from my first answer.
Yeah.
For me, trans visibility is less about seeing big names in the media. For me, it's more about knowing that trans identities and trans people exist, whether they are a celebrity or whether they're just someone who you know through school. Because I think it's quite common for lots of people to struggle with their gender, but to not really have language to put to that. Because they don't have access to these kind of resources and this kind of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So for me, trans visibility is seeing other people like yourself in everyday contexts where it's not made into a massive deal and it's not stigmatized and people can just exist as trans people.
All of these questions are on a very similar theme with a lot of similar answers. But so internationally, trans visibility, I think there can be quite a lot of variation. Well, there is quite a lot of variation. Can you talk a bit about that and kind of internationally how visibility works?
So I guess when we talk about trans identities, we think of quite a quote-unquote Western idea of gender. But in actuality, it's so much more diverse than that, and gender varies so much across different communities and different countries and different boundaries. So I think it's important that we recognize how diverse it is. But I don't know, I think International Day of Visibility, I think, is important not necessarily because it's a day for people, for trans people to come out and to be public about it, but it's a day that's important for dispelling stigma about trans identities and for challenging transphobia. I don't think it should be so much as placing an onus on trans people to tell everyone else that they're trans, because that opens you up to so much vulnerability. But I think it's a really important and useful day for talking about the problems that trans people face and why it's important that people know more about the identities.
Well, so good segue into my last question. So again, tying it all in with National Conversation Week, how do you think we can have better conversations about trans issues? Because there have been some less than favorable headlines and things lately. It's something that's very much on the minds of all LGBT plus people. What do you think?
Well, kind of an obvious one, but talking to trans people is normally a good start. You see a lot of scary headlines coming out of things that people who aren't trans have said, and that kind of builds into the stigma and the transphobia when you've got people who aren't part of the community making claims that trans people are dangerous and trans people shouldn't be allowed to exist in certain spaces. But if you talk to almost any trans person, you get to a much more human level, and I think that's really key for having conversations that can make people understand more about trans issues. Yeah.
Right, well, thank you very much.
No problem.
I guess the message here is, this month, have a chat with somebody trans about how we can be nicer to everybody.
Do that.
Thank you very much. See ya.
No problem. Bye.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Yeah, so thank you, Leo, and hopefully in the future we'll have more like interviewees and stuff and like get in touch with some other people from the community. That would be wonderful. If you are a trans person, feel free to be as visible as you want to be on March 31st and the rest of the time.
You're all valid.
We love you.
Yeah,
we love you. Goodbye. See you next time.
Bye.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The music was by Twisterium. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, does that one need, like, an introduction, do you reckon?
I thought you were going to try and get to that note then. I thought...
Oh, Lord, no.
I thought, that's not going to happen, Andy. Don't do it. There's going to be damage. There's going to be tears after midnight.
If you don't know, that is You Make Me Feel by Sylvester.
You don't know?
Well, we're not all as old as you. You keep forgetting that.
Excuse me, but that's disco from the 70s. Sylvester is very famous.
Yeah. Really important, really important. And you've reminded me, I know it's not the same era, tonight on BBC Two at 9:30, if you're listening on the Thursday night, that is, there is a programme called Pose. It's a new drama from America, and it's about the voguing scene.
Oh, yes.
Paris is Burning, made famous, of course, by Madonna and her hit single Vogue in 1990, but a sort of black, Latino, gay phenomenon in New York and across, you know, across America, and people finding solidarity in the face of racism and the AIDS crisis.
Yes, one to put on record if you can be there.
Record, but not on playback.
Well, oh, strike a pose.
No,
I could strike a
on
pose.
Your Betamax or VHS.
Oh, yes. I'm sure there's younger people that don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, I say, is that big in the hit parade?
Well, I was about, I knew you were going to mention the hit parade. Your favourite thing on the wireless. Yeah. Well, most people, when they think wireless, they're like, do you mean Wi-Fi?
Yes, I suppose that's the modern usage of it, isn't it?
But it's a story of my life. Being born in the 50s and a bit out of time.
With the light programme.
The light programme. There was no radio. I remember the first day of Radio 1 with Tony Blackburn. I was there. First day, 1967, after the pirates were dying.
Flowers in the Rain, wasn't it?
It was on
Tony Blackburn's breakfast show.
Incidentally, this week is the 50th anniversary of Radio Jackie down in London. Started as a land pirate station, pioneered community radio in this country.
And here we are then.
Yeah, well, and here we are on community radio.
That is the history, isn't it? It's pirate radio that led to the granting of the licence for community radio.
Yeah, it took a very long time in this country. I mean, if you think about it, the pirate stations were a very long campaign of civil disobedience in this country. Whereas in Italy, for example, the government in 1974 said, yeah, everyone can have a licence.
Yeah, but have you tried tuning in when you're driving down the A5 motorway to Strada?
So many stations in Italy
every
as a result.
Every tenth of an FM scale, there's a station.
Everyone 100 kilohertz, yeah.
So we're quite. DAB hasn't quite taken off here yet, has it? I don't know if that's bigger in other countries.
Well, they are going to hopefully roll out DAB for more and more stations. And here, where we're broadcasting from in Bristol, there's actually a low power transmitter at the Purdown mast, and that has ourselves, Ujima, Summer Valley Radio, lots of little radio stations.
I was going to say, if you're listening on a home station, BCFM, we are also available on DAB. I'm not sure with our other stations if any of them are.
I don't believe they're on FM.
And of course the modern thing these days is streaming, of course. You can listen to us on loads of different streaming platforms,
yeah,
so including our own website.
Oh,
Oh, it's all very
high-tech.
That's
a shock horror moment.
All high-tech.
As my mother would say, it's like science fiction, you and your data pads. You look like that man off of Star Trek.
Well, you say that. It is true. I mean, Star Trek did have the tablets that we now actually walk around with tablets.
Did you see the thickness of them?
I know, yeah. That's what's really funny, though. They were like wheels, huge, weren't they? The original Star Trek, of course, the computer voice was all monotone and really weird. And you listen to like Amazon Alexa or something like that, and she actually sounds quite human.
Yes. That'll be next. It'll be robots. Mm. We'll be able to date robots. Yes. Imagine that. Mm. I could finally get my hands on Matt Damon. have a robot Matt Damon. Would that put? Really? I think I'm going to go with this idea. I should.
All the people you can pick, you pick Matt Damon, would you?
Well, I'm kind of copying Boy George a bit. Remember when Boy George was into Hare Krishna stuff, which obviously is a religion which believes in reincarnation? Somebody said, "What would you like to come back as?" And he said, "Matt Damon's underpants."
Well, I mean, it's becoming a bit of a debate, though. The whole, you know, could you kill a robot? It's been a big thing in the news recently. If you watch, if you like, I have the BBC News app on my phone, and I saw it popped up as one of those articles for debate. And of course, classic BBC—they put both sides and they don't make a decision because they try not to.
Is that going
to
put us out of business for our starter kits? Where robots could be programmed. They don't need starter kits like humans.
No. Yeah.
Gay robots.
Need a lot of oil.
Gay robots.
Just put an SD card in the back.
Apparently at Doctor Who conventions in the 1980s and 90s, somebody had a Cyberman, but they'd sprayed him pink and given him big and you know, the handles that Cybermen have, if you're Doctor Who. They'd made those into big heart shaped ones.
Aww.
So sweet.
So a Cyberwoman.
Well, a sort of cyber non-binary, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I suppose
ahead of its time.
Yeah,
we're not seeing any Doctor Who this year. It's not back till next year, is it?
Back on the screens next year.
I'm loving the main Doctor now.
I think she's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, I do. You know, and the rating shot through the roof when she took over.
Yeah. I think she's proven. You know, I mean, she had the most difficult task since Patrick Troughton, really, didn't she? He had to persuade everyone that the Doctor could change, and she has had to persuade us that the Doctor can change into a woman, and she's done it fantastically, I think. So, and it's Easter. It's not Easter. It's the vernal equinox, which is the spring equinox today. So, if you're a pagan, it's a very important part of the wheel of the year.
Question for you. On the radio this morning, they were saying it was the first day of spring. And when I got to the office, people were saying, well, I thought that was the beginning of March.
It depends who you ask, doesn't it?
Well, you've got the things like astronomical ones. You've got meteorological spring.
And I believe it's the astronomical spring, which is when day and night are equal. And from now through till September, the days are longer than the nights.
Good weather like that. So, well, hopefully the weather will cheer up a little. We had a like hot spell recently, didn't we? And it was gorgeous. Now it's gone back to being cold again, which is a bit of a we're out of time, unfortunately.
We'll be back with all our partner stations next week.
Wherever you are, however you're listening, whatever you do, have a great week, won't you?
Next